In this episode, Craig and I debrief our 12-hour walk, the things we saw, the things we thought, and the things we took away from it. Interestingly, apart from a few similarities, namely nature, presence, and the 6-hour walk being really pivotal, we both had completely different experiences of the same task. Overall, it was awesome for both of us on many levels. But it seems the debrief and download we did here was only the beginning. The 12-hour walk, what I have come to realize, is not just about the time I spent during the walk, but the time after. In the days following, I continued and am still continuing to process the things that I uncovered, thought, and took away from the walk and distill them down to an even deeper, clearer level, which has made the walk so much more valuable for me. I would love for you also to go through this experience. We at Base 3 are going to run our own experience around the 12-hour walk with a build-up and debrief phase attached to it. I found that the debrief was really crucial for me to kind of get the wheels turning and to start that processing phase of the walk. We are going to run the walk on the 28th of January, and the prep meeting will be this weekend on the 14th. If you would like to get involved, if you would like any information about it, please email me, emily@base3.ae. Have an awesome day, everybody, and enjoy our ramblings.
Yeah, I was walking, heading into Emirates Hills, and it was like a plane. I thought it was a plane at first, but it was really bright, and it was kind of like flashing or fizzling, kind of.
What if it's a UFO?
No, it was definitely a shooting star, but it wasn't really moving. It was kind of still.
Was it just hovering in place and then it flew off really quickly?
No, and then it just kind of burned out. And I was like, oh, that was a shooting star. And I looked at the time, it was 6:06 a.m. That's the first
What
time
if it was a meteor?
No, because it wasn't moving. They move. I feel like shooting stars don't move.
That's a UFO.
So I either saw a UFO at 6:06 or I saw a shooting star. But no, I'm pretty sure it was a shooting star and I've never ever seen one before.
It's called a shooting star, not a stay still.
Yeah, but I don't think
star.
They shoot.
I think they do.
And I think that's a meteor.
Huh.
Anyway, it might have been moving towards us. Because I said it looked like it was moving a tiny bit, but on a weird trajectory. And it was kind of like twinkling almost, and then just faded. Burnt out.
It's 6:06.
Yeah.
I guess it is pretty dark
then. Still dark. And that is just one more thing that made this awesome.
So we're talking about the 12-hour walk. Craig and I did the 12-hour walk yesterday. It is exactly what it sounds like. Go out and walk for 12 hours. And this concept was developed, dreamt up, designed, defined by a guy called Colin O'Brady, who is an athlete. I've read his book, and I should make notes. Should be better at making notes. He's just one of those guys that's done a lot of things, a lot of cool things. Like he's a world record holder of a few different activities, records.
He's also Omar Kadri's friend's roommate.
Yeah, we have a member at the gym who is friends with a guy that flattered with Colin in university. Small world. Anyway, so I came across the 12-hour walk when Colin was on the Chasing Excellence podcast, and Pat and Ben, the hosts, had just done their 12-hour walk and they were talking about it. And I thought it sounded really cool. It's basically you go out unplugged, unaccompanied, and walk for 12 hours. It's not a physical challenge. I mean, it is physically challenging, but it's not meant to be that way. It's just to get out in a way, be by yourself.
When did you listen to
that? And see what comes up. It was maybe a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And I don't know how long the 12-hour walk has been. Oh, he came up with it in COVID. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so I wanted to do it and I thought, you know, I really want to start to bring some more personal development stuff into Base 3 because that is a very big component of health also. And I thought that it would be really cool to try to bring other people in and do it with us. And so we will be running it through Base 3 in a couple of weeks' time. And because of that, I thought I should also experience it myself before I took others through it. And you've known this about this for a while.
Yeah, but I completely checked out from it because I didn't think I'd be able to do it because I assumed you'd be gone for 12 hours, so I'd have to babysit Freddie. So I was right. I can't do it, and took no notice of it.
Yeah, but so did you think it sounded interesting, or were you just like...
I hadn't really thought about it. Like, so for me, I thought it was more physical than like a developmental thing. So I was like, oh, it's a challenge to see if you can walk for 12 hours. I didn't really think that much more than that. That's all I thought it was. And then when we were speaking about it the other day, saying, oh, you should do it beforehand. And when I started thinking more about it, I'd had like a real like thinky week. So I was just like, oh, it would be cool to unpack some of this stuff on my own whilst I was walking. And I've had no distractions and just go and do it. So then I got really interested in it. So we came up with the idea of doing it earlier. So
and when was that? Like Wednesday night? No, it wouldn't have been. No, anyways.
Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. Okay,
yeah.
Like 4 days
ago. So we're like, right, we're not working this weekend. We'll get Lisa to stay the night, nanny, so that Freddie's looked after all day, and we'll get up and go. Mm. So we know that there's certain rules about it, unplugged and unaccompanied, as we said. And there are some other things, tips that are kind of given to you, but other than that, you can kind of set it up as you like. You don't need to be walking for the full 12 hours. And a couple of people had recommended that you should do it from your home and around familiar territory so that you're not thinking about where you're going, because most of it is just about being in your thoughts and not being distracted by other things like, oh, I'm lost, you know, how do I get to this place, or oh, what way should I go? So Craig and I decided that we would base ourselves from home. We would set off at different intervals. Like I think you went 15 minutes earlier than me.
Yeah, 10 minutes earlier.
We're pretty much going to be walking, you know, similar stomping grounds. But we just said, you know, when we see each other, we'll just go the other way. Or
we never actually said that.
We just said, well, we just said we'd walk past each other and wouldn't.
We didn't actually. I didn't see you until 6 hours.
Right. We saw each other maybe 3 or 4 times the whole 12 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How did you go?
So I only really thought about doing this like 4 days before. So I hadn't done any research, didn't know any of the rules, was really unprepared when I decided to do it. And then, which I think was fine, but I think I probably could have gotten more out of it. Maybe not, if I'd thought more about it and had more time to prepare. And then a day or two before, I started getting really nervous about it because I don't ever remember a time where I was completely isolated for 12 hours. Like even when you're driving to work in the morning, which is like 8 minutes, and your phone's not working, so you can't listen to something or can't turn anything on. That's kind of like weird just to sit and be in your own thoughts. It's really uncomfortable. So then I started getting really nervous, not about the physicality of it, but then what thoughts will I access, or what decisions will I come to whilst out just thinking for 12 hours. So yeah, I was actually really nervous the day before going into it. I was pretty nervous about it.
I see, and this is the whole thing about this, is that we both had completely different experiences.
Very.
Because I am not afraid of being alone. I really enjoy being alone with my thoughts. And I didn't go into it with any structured thoughts. So I obviously had a lot of thoughts along the way, but then I often found myself just checking out and just kind of dawdling and not really thinking
during it. You
much
did.
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of these things that we're talking about are lessons learned. One of the things was I was really tired because we had stayed up really late the night before prepping all of our food, so we didn't have to do any of that, and we wanted to leave at 4:30 a.m.
So we didn't get to bed till like 11 o'clock the night before.
And then did Freddie wake up? No. I woke up at 3 a.m. I think I was really anxious about it also because I woke up and I was thinking already about it. And so I couldn't go back to sleep. So I tried, but then I ended up getting up at like 3:30. And so I was up at 3:30. So that was a long, boring story. But I realized that I was so tired that my brain just kind of checked out through half the walk.
Interesting.
And then I started stressing like, oh, I'm not thinking anything. Like, right. Oh, nothing's coming to mind. And so...
Yeah, because you'll experience lower cognition if you're fatigued. Like if you're mentally tired, you want me to think as well or think straight. Interesting.
So I actually think that I would have benefited from having some structured questions or some questions to kind of ponder throughout the walks?
So when I started, first of all, I had an absolutely incredible experience. Like, it was this, like, I'd done like a drug trip or something and had this huge like journey of going through like 0 to 10 to 1 million, and then, well, in fact, it never came back down. It was just up, up, up. It was just like the most amazing experience for so many reasons, which we'll get into now as why we're doing this. But then M didn't have that, and I was really like disappointed, not disappointed, but like, huh, like a shame that you didn't, like, it was cool and you enjoyed it, and it was, I'm sure it felt like an achievement, but it doesn't sound like you had the same experience to me at all.
No.
No. Whereas for me, it was like incredible. Like, I, and I'll tell you the story, but it's, I went into it with no idea what I had a couple of things happen during the week that kind of raised questions that I wanted answers to. So I was kind of
after you knew you were going to do the walk, or just randomly had the questions?
Randomly, but like coincidentally, okay. Like something happened with work and some other things happened where I was just like, okay, I'm going to use this time to figure these things out. So I kind of went into it with like a bit of an agenda. And then on my first chapter, so I called them chapters. So I came back and made notes and I called them chapters. I think it's because I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks with like chapter one. So I was like, hey, chapter one. And I started off really easy. And as I started, I was just like, right, what are we going to talk about first? And then the first chapter was something real easy, and it was kind of like work, personal, business goals. So like, what do I want to achieve for this year? Or like, what are my goals? Where do I want to be professionally? Like, what kind of like financial targets do I have for myself, and where do I want to get to? And that was easy because it was kind of fun, because it was me trying to tap into what areas of my specialties can I lean into, and where can I find other areas to excel. It was kind of fun and exciting, like thinking about all these potential ideas. So that was a really easy one to get going. And then when I tried to force myself to, and that was kind of like a random one, I didn't really think about that, it was kind of easy start. When I tried to force myself to think about the ideas that I had listed off beforehand, wanted to go into, it was like trying to think about things that I wanted to think about. It was really hard. Like, I couldn't force it. And there was one chapter where I'd come back and I was like, one of the things I wanted to think about was you, pointing at M. And then I...
You, the listener.
Oh, you guys. And that was on chapter three. And I came back and I just wrote like, not a lot to report here. And it was just like, and I'd been gone for, hang on, that was like 6 hours. So 2 hours. I was like walking for 2 hours. And I was just like fairly quiet in my head.
That makes me feel so special.
No, but like I...
And tumbleweeds.
Then that's when you were like, I was walking and kind of like dawdling and not thinking about anything. I was just like trying to force myself to ask these questions. And then like nothing, it was just too forced and it was too hard. Or maybe the thoughts were too strong or too for me to consciously go into. Or like I say consciously, but I literally feel like I had an out-of-body experience during this walk.
You were abducted by the UFO. By the shooting star.
So yeah, when I found when it was really, like when I forced myself to try and think about things, it was really difficult.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know what stretch this podcast is going to take, but the journey of it, so that was kind of like up to the 6 hour point where that's like halfway and everything was either really superficial or really hard to think about things, nothing deep. And then I remember you like saying to you were saying, oh, maybe we do a mini one to see, like just to test it out. And I was like, oh, but what if all the cool shit starts happening at like 8 hours? And it was literally after that walk, which was 6 hours. After that, like my notes for the next one was more enjoyable this round. And then I got into like a lot more past halfway. So something literally, I don't know if it was like placebo of me knowing I was past halfway. Because by that point, I hadn't spoke to anyone. I hadn't looked at my phone. I hadn't been influenced by anything outside of my own thoughts. Just me on myself for 6 hours. Like, when do you ever do that? And then I just got to this place where like, thoughts that I had flown a lot more freely. And then I think it was like 8 hours, I was just in this absolutely amazing place, and like, so I just had 2 hours of really good thoughts, and now I had managed to get into thinking about you, and
thank goodness.
And I'd like spent 2 hours like having all these like really hard conversations, but then have all these like amazingly positive solutions and like outcomes to all these.
Maybe it's kind of like, you know, when you take the, I'm imagining like, you know, fresh milk, how the cream rises to the top, and you like, isn't there like a, some sort of saying about
the cream rises?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's the good stuff.
I'm imagining it as not the good stuff. Maybe if you
imagine it like moldy milk where you scrape the top off.
No, or maybe if you have like heart issues and you shouldn't be having the cream. It's kind of like you've scraped that off.
Maybe that was it.
In the like 6 hours.
But what was crazy, so there's all these, and I don't know how much of this
you guys
is,
get what I'm saying.
I don't know how much of this is me like just making coincidences mean something. But then the first time that I saw M was literally at the end of that chapter where I had all these...
Of my chapter?
No. Oh. Yeah, of your chapter. Oh. The one where I actually thought about all these things and I got through. And I was like literally walking along, beaming, smiling, like happy.
When you saw me?
And then I saw you.
Did I have like a halo effect on?
No, you turned around and were walking away from me. But I didn't know you turned around. I thought I'd caught up to you because I didn't see you turn around. But you'd obviously like see me like, oh, yeah. Craze, come on, I'll go back the other way. Yeah. And then I saw you and that was just like, oh, this is perfect. Like I just got like the answer that I wanted to this question and I was just like, yes, this is amazing. And then like, then you appeared out of nowhere, like literally within minutes of that happening. It was crazy. And then, so then we went home, had something to eat, came back out and I was just on like this absolute buzz of like, this is amazing. This is the best thing. I'm in such a good place. I haven't spoke to anyone for 8 hours now. Haven't checked my phone. This is amazing. I've like, thought about so many things and I was on this absolute high, like literally I felt high. I was like bouncing down the street smiling, singing S Club 7. No idea where that came from. And then it's like
Ain't No Party, like a,
I can't remember what song it was now, but I know it was S Club 7 song.
Is it like a West Coast party, like a West, no,
S Club Party?
Oh yeah.
Maybe that's what I was singing. And and then it started raining.
Oh yeah.
So I was 8 hours in, high as fuck, like this is the best thing I've ever done, this is amazing,
on the 12-hour walk,
8 hours into the 12-hour walk, and it started raining.
So it is, sorry, just to be clear, what's the date today?
The 8th.
It's the 8th of January. So yesterday was the 7th of January. You guys remember the 7th of January storm in Dubai?
Yeah, it was like the mad, like it wasn't the worst storm ever in Dubai, but it's definitely the worst rain I've ever been in physically, the worst, and I've been stuck outside.
So I had seen Craig at this point. I was walking home to refuel and I had just seen Craig leave, so I knew that he was on his way to start his big loop. You were doing like 12K.
I was on 12K that one.
And I got back to the car, or got back to the house, and it started to rain. So I was like, oh, I better go in and get a jacket. And then I come outside, it's raining a bit harder. I write my notes, and then I head off on my way, and it starts pissing down,
like
really buckets. Badly. So I go back in the house and get my North Face, like full-on ski jacket, and head back out again, toasty warm. And then I think of Craig. I'm like, oh my gosh, he is out.
Yeah.
And he just had a t-shirt on.
And so, and I stayed in the, I had a long sleeve shirt on all morning for the first, like up until that point. And I did my first outfit change and went in and just changed to shorts and t-shirt and head back out. And I was going to do an 8K loop, smaller loop. So I was doing 8 10s or 12s. And they're about half an hour difference. So this is a 2.5 hour loop. And I was 4K in and I was supposed to do an 8K. I was like, no, I'm feeling good. Let's do a long one now. Kept going. And then it started raining. And then I was just like, oh, well. And I just said out loud, oh, no turning back now. And I was saying this out loud. It's like I've gone crazy. I was like, oh, no turning back now. Oh, no, I could actually turn back now. It would be quicker if I turned around and went back. No, fuck it. Keep going. And it started getting heavier. And then I was like, cross the road. I was like, oh, I'll walk under the trees a little bit. It's a little bit shaded. It's fine. Keep going. Just telling myself everything's fine. And I got to a point where it was really open. And it started like hammering it down. Like it was hurting. The rain was like, felt like hailstorm. It wasn't, but it felt like hail. It
yeah,
was, like,
I thought of hail too at one time.
It was hitting me. I could feel it. It was like the almost stinging as it was hitting me. And I was just like getting really hyped up by it. And I was, and so recently, backstory, I've listened to a bunch of really like, very similar genre audiobooks, like loads of David Goggins, loads of like motivational stuff, Cam Haines, Tim Grover, Jocko Willink. For the last like 2 months, I've just been on this like motivational, same type of person binge. So I had all these like kind of like David Goggins, like Get Hard, and people listen to David Goggins know what type of person he is. And so I was just walking through, and it was just really like symbolic for me that this is now the hardest point of this walk. So we're doing this thing, which isn't supposed to be that physical, but all of a sudden this like rainstorm has happened and it's turned into something very challenging, because you're now, what should be pretty simple, just to walk for 12 hours, is now there's some adversity into it. And then I started thinking, okay, well, this is symbolic now, because this is my lifespan as a business owner, has been like up and down and kind of like partly challenging, a little bit harder. And now this is like the hardest it's ever been. And this was like this 12-hour walk. I'm at the toughest point of it now. And I just started relating all of what I was experienced through that day of these like amazing highs and experiences, and then going into these like extreme hardships, which is just rain. It's not that it's not that big a deal. I know walking through the rain is just stupid more than anything, but for me it was very, very motivating to just keep powering through the rain. And I started like smiling, and people were like looking out of their windows, I'm sure, thinking, what the hell is wrong with this person? Because I was like powering through. I was just like the white David Goggins, just like shouting. I was literally shouting to myself as we were walking, and I was saying things like no one else is out here doing this, and convincing myself that because I'm out here doing this stupid walking in the rain for 12 hours, I can do anything. And it just was the timing of when it happened on the walk, and the timing of me listening to those books before, and the timing of the lifeline of the business, is like everything came together like it was supposed to happen there and then. And what came out of that is taking that 12-hour walk and comparing that to those 6 years of being a business owner, is the stage I was at that walk, I was like, this is where I am in my business now. And if I quit now on this, or if I go and get shelter from the rain, then it's the equivalent of me like failing at the business. And I just turned it into like, just fucking go, just keep walking, like head up, head on, like attack it. And it was just this really powerful, like symbolic moment of like, I believe I can do this. And then we talked a little bit before, and I already had these, I'd thought about these during it, but the three words that I'd used to summarize the whole experience were clarity, vision, and belief. And clarity was really early on, and I got really clear on what I want and what we need to do. And then the vision was kind of like how we're going to do it, what we need to do to get where we want to be. And I realized in the middle of that storm that everything I've done up until this point, I never believed we'd be able to do it. And what we need to do for our business moving forwards, I know what we need to do. Everyone knows what we need to do. But I never believed, deep down, I never believed that we could do it. I'd always say we can do it and always say that I want to do it, but I never actually believed myself. And during it, I don't know what I did, but I just convinced myself that we can do it. So for me, it was clarity, vision, and then belief. And the fact that going through this experience made me realize that I believe in myself and the team we've got. And it was just super powerful, like the timing of everything and the way it all fell, and what I experienced during it is literally out of body experience of just powering through the rain, just shouting at myself.
The rain was my favorite part of the walk. I did have a nice jacket on and I was warm up top. It would have been really horrible if I was cold up top. I was cold on my legs. But I do remember at one point looking up and like contemplative walking for me, I don't know about you, but, and this might sound weird, but, and it might be because I'm not supposed to talk to anyone. So you're not supposed to talk to anybody. So if you see somebody and you pass somebody, you're not allowed to talk to them. And like normally in a community, you kind of like say hi because you're in close contact and, you know, everyone's your neighbor. So you kind of say hi.
So I wasn't sure sometimes. If that was the rule, but
you shouldn't.
I assumed you shouldn't.
I mean, maybe there's some grey, but I just, no, blanket,
I did,
no.
I did have a guy and his son get lost, so I gave him directions.
That would have been, yeah, I understand that. I think most people would do that. But anyway, so I was like super awkward about, oh, what if I see my mum friend and she stops to talk to me and I've got to do the like, zip my lips.
Just flipped her off and keep walking and she won't speak to you.
What's the thing where you zip the lip and you throw away the key? You know, do that. Most of my walk, I realized probably a couple of hours in, to the detriment of my posture, that I was like looking at the ground the whole time and walking like that. But I also feel like you think, I don't know, I felt like my eyes needed to be on the ground to think more. But anyway, so in this rain, torrential rain, monsoon rain, I had my...
She's not exaggerating, it was a monsoon.
head down, like, because the wind was trying to blow it up over my head, so I had to hold it down. And because my hands were facing upwards, there was water dripping down my forearms. So then I had to, like, it was quite awkward. But I looked up at one point, and, like, my favorite flower is bougainvillea. It's, like, blooming at the moment. It's the most beautiful. There's, like, purples. Actually, I realize, oh, there's so many things I'm trying to say right now. Go back to the rain. So
you looked up.
I looked up, and I was in, like, this, like, not a valley because I was on the path, but it was on each side, like, the most bougainvillea in the whole walk. And I looked up, and there was, like, purples and pinks and whites all along this trail. And I was like, oh, that's so lovely. Like, there you are. And actually, I was thinking of our really good family friend, Julie Candy, who passed away a couple of months ago. And at her funeral, she asked for everybody to bring a posy. Is it like a bucket or a jar of, like, really bright, beautiful flowers? Pick that. So we obviously couldn't go to the funeral because she's back in New Zealand, but we picked a posy of bougainvillea and had it here for her. And when I looked up, I was like, oh, there you are, Julie Candy. It was just such a nice moment. But anyways, going back to the other thing I was trying to say at the same time, was that I really felt like nature was popping. Like, it was so, I noticed so many things about nature. Like bougainvillea, there's like a little white flower in the middle of the pink stuff. And it was like super bold. Like, I was just noticing everything with nature. And yeah, it was
crazy vibrant out there.
But it was really, it could have been, I don't know, is it because it's like winter? Or also the other thing was that in the podcast that I listened to, they talked about noticing nature. And so I was like, am I thinking about this because they said it and now I'm noticing it?
Well, no, because I also noticed that and I didn't hear the podcast.
Okay, so one thing about the whole experience was I was hesitant for us to share our experience because I didn't want to put thoughts into other people's heads that would maybe muddy their experience. Not muddy it, but, like, you know, influence it. Put expectations, I guess, onto other people. And then the other thing was, like, my eyes were, I don't know what my eyes were doing, but I really felt my eyeballs. It could have been because I was tired, but also I felt like, who's the X-Man that has the...
Cyclops.
The sunglasses. No, the sunglasses, not Cyclops. It's got like the...
You're not near the microphone.
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure it's Cyclops. No, Cyclops.
Cy something. The guy wears the sunglasses.
Oh, okay.
He lifts his glasses up and he's got like a laser thing.
Oh, yeah, fine. I felt like I was that guy. I'm just thinking of Cyclops.
Jeremy's
like,
going to be kicking me now. He's not Cyclops.
I was thinking of the Cyclops something. As being a guy that has like one eye and he's like ugly and beast-like. But yeah, I think you're right. Anyways, I felt like him. Screaming like himself. If I had laser beams, they would have been coming out of my eyeballs. It was really weird. So, and I felt really like everything I was seeing was like, whoa.
No, 100%. Whoa. So I wearing glasses for like a year ago and I just wear them all the time now. During the rain, I couldn't wear them because they were rained on and you couldn't see shit. So I took them off and I could see so clearly. It was so weird.
I did feel very present.
Yeah, of course. I think that's part of like...
But right. It was a really weird feeling. I wasn't sure if it was feeling present or not. I'm not used to it.
No, I think one of the main things that I enjoy, reasons I enjoyed it so much were because I was very present and I think that's a product of escaping and being by yourself and unplugging and so many people that are kind of like into these type of exercises are big on unplugging and being in nature, and you see why, because that was an incredible experience and you don't have to go out and walk for 12 hours to do it. This is an extreme dose, but I still think this is a very valuable experience for understanding what being present is and the benefit. Like, I barely touched my phone today. I don't want to. I'm like...
Yeah, you kind of feel like you're undoing something.
Yeah.
Going back to that.
But at the same time, I think it's made me want to be more present. Not in the, like, the meditative sense of like, oh, be more present, but literally be more present. Like, I think all those things like notice and how beautiful the flowers looked or how clear your vision gets or something, like things like that, stuff you can experience every day.
So I feel as though, like, so for me, I didn't get the same I didn't get the same as you. I didn't feel, how do I word this? Like, I'm really glad I did it. And I did have a lot of good realizations. I didn't learn anything new. Well, maybe I did. Maybe what I'm saying now is what I learned. But I realized that I actually think a lot. I have enough time with my own thoughts. So for me, this was just a really long version of that. I think I do a good enough, I think I do really well at taking myself off and reflecting and being really introspective when I need to. So this for me wasn't a challenge psychologically at all. And I don't feel like I felt any different in my thought process from what I do normally. I did, like, obviously I had the nature, the feeling of being present. I observed a lot of things that I think are like kind of built into me. Like when we left, I said, as soon as I walked out the door, I was like, shit, I haven't done this. Oh, I should have put my phone closer to the door so that as soon as we come in, we can, you know, take a photo or do our post video, which we still haven't done. I didn't get enough of this. I didn't get enough of that. Like I was kind of stressing about things that I felt like I should have been in control of. And I was kind of like, that's a weird thing. Like, you're just going out for a walk. You know that you can go home whenever you want to, and you can go inside whenever you want and get whatever you need. But I felt like there was just this innate thing of me to feel like I needed to be like more organized. So
maybe that's because we were so unorganized.
But I don't think we were.
Wow.
But I really don't think we were. Like, I just felt like I was looking for things to be like, you know, when you go away on a Christmas holiday and like all the shit that you could have done all year, you like for some reason have to do it before you go away on that Christmas holiday. It could totally wait another 3 months, but you're like, no, I have to get, you know, the car serviced or I don't know.
Whatever. But I also think
I kind of feel like it was like that.
We got organized from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. that night. So it was probably pretty hectic and pretty rushed. It's not it's very Estor like to be that last minute, but.
How dare you rub our name through the mud like that? It's true. Fred would totally. Fred shouldn't be put into that bucket.
No.
He is the Esther.
It's a very Emily and Rosie and I think Sophie. It's
the Bray side. So I observed that. There were a lot of things that I observed. There are some other things about myself that I observed, and I kind of defined. Like, I have a lot of grey, cloudy ideas about stuff in my head.
You said you didn't learn anything. It sounds like you have a lot going on.
Maybe I did, but it didn't. It just, maybe the act of thinking about stuff wasn't, like, a big deal for me.
Okay.
I didn't have any, like, major Dance in the Rain breakthrough stuff.
Multiple times wanted to scream as loud as I could.
I'm really annoyed that I didn't hear that.
I almost said there's no point in doing this podcast because I feel like no one will ever have the same experience I just had doing this, because the rain wouldn't, like, you guys do it, I do it in a couple weeks time. I don't think it's forecast to rain on the 29th of January at, like, when you're supposed to be doing it. And I think that was the point that I am on my career and what I've listened to lately and the timing of that rain on the walk was like perfect. Like, it was perfect for, like, it was, that storm was sent to me to teach me a lesson. That's how I feel. So I don't think anyone else is going to get that experience.
No, nobody else will have your experience. No. But everyone else will have their own,
of course,
experience.
Yeah. I got into it thinking it was going to be a very, very physical thing. How old did you find it physically?
So
you did 50k, I did 61k, which was 74,000 steps. Right. Which is mad. But like how I feel. So for guys doing it, I think it's worth noting that. So I wore a pair of shoes that I thought would be comfortable that weren't. And then I changed to another pair later on, which were much, much, much more comfortable. Then they got soaked through, so I had to change them. I think that's crucial. I think you have to be real.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, it makes it, like, it sounds obvious, but be really smart with like that. For us, it wasn't hot. It was cold. So we didn't have to worry too much about like,
yeah, we
sweaty.
Had like changes of clothes just
I
in
had
case.
8 changes of clothes. Yeah. I only used 3.
That was so extreme, by the way.
Yeah, but it's like when we go on holiday, I take like 7 pairs of socks for 7 days. Really, it annoys them. But I only ended up using three in one of those because one got rained out.
Mm.
It didn't get very sweaty because it was cold. So we were lucky from that perspective, which also meant hydrating was really easy because you didn't have to consume so much water because it wasn't hot. So you weren't sweating that much. But yeah, I felt like the last, after I'd been through that like amazing experience and then the storm, I was on such a hype that coming down for the last walk, I'd left myself like an hour and 15 left after that, and I had to get 6K in to get to 60K. I was broken by that point.
Mm.
Like that walk was painful. The last 6K were rough.
Yeah, I got to, I didn't have any expectation of how far because it was not about physical stuff. So it's not about how far you go. It's not about how fast you walk at all. So for me, I had switched off that side and I was just going for contemplative time. So I was dawdling. And then when I got to 6 hours in my notebook, I noted that stuff was starting to hurt, which is what he says also, is that kind of the first half isn't too bad. And then the second half, it starts to accumulate. And then at, I think it was 9 hours, I started to get a little bit bored of my stuff. Like I couldn't be bothered thinking anymore. I was kind of done going through everything that I wanted to go through. And it was just towards the end, and it just gets really fatiguing psychologically and physically. And at that point, I'd worked out that if I did like 5K in the first hour. So I worked out that if I could hold that pace, I would get to 50K. That was my target. I needed a target at that point because I don't know, we kind of need targets. Otherwise, I just could have kept dawdling. And as I said, I'd kind of let go of the thinking. And so I needed something else to focus on because it was still a long way to go. So I had to pick up the pace and I had to hold that pace. So at that point, it was a physical, it was a physical thing. I had to hold like, I think 11 minutes a K or something like that. And I had to go for it, but I was in pain then. So it was horrible taking every single step. And after that, it became a physical point. What were we talking about again?
The physicality of it.
Oh yeah, we were talking about the physicality of it.
What was the...
Yeah, so that's what... And funnily enough, at that point, I was like, oh, I have to get at least 50. And then I was thinking, you know, like the ego side of you checks in and you're like, oh, when people know that I've done 50, they're going to target to do more than me. Or like, what if that's not even a good distance? What if that's like a really slow distance? I couldn't help it, I think. And I think that's another observation that I made. And I was like, huh, it's really interesting that you're thinking that way because it's not what this is about. And the whole time, ego hadn't come up at all. So it was just, yeah, a really interesting, fleeting thought.
Emily is ultra competitive.
No. I'm not ultra competitive. It was just...
You're worried that someone's going to beat you on the walk.
Yeah, but it was, it wasn't like I was fully, you know, when sometimes you think thoughts that you don't necessarily accept totally, like you think the thought and then you sit there and observe it.
But I
and it wasn't like, I can't explain it. It was really weird.
So I thought the same thing, very similar process. I was targeting, I was thinking I'd probably get like 50K. It'd probably be about the distance I'd hit. And then when I got past 50, I had like an hour and 15 left. I was like, oh, I might actually get to 60. And I was thinking the same thing. I was just like, someone's going to try and beat that now. And it'll be Bren. She'll try and beat that. She'll be like, all right, 62K. and not because I care that someone that did more, but it was more like, oh, I don't want people to do this and then try and beat it because that's not what it's about. Like, I could have done more because my moving time was 11 hours of the 12 hours. So including like bathroom breaks, changes, eating and fueling, that took an hour of the time up. So I was moving for 11 hours, but the pace for a lot of time, I was like, walk slower, enjoy it, move slower. You're not going for distance. It doesn't make it go any faster. It doesn't matter how fast you move. So I was just like, someone could go out this and probably punch out like 70, 80K, no problem in that time walking. So I was just like, doesn't matter.
But I just, going back to, sorry, this is something I
that
still.
That was a weird tangent.
That still I have to I have to process this, obviously, but it was just, that was what kept me going to finish the final 12 hours with not dignity, but like to finish it proudly for me. And it was, I guess it was just like kind of a bit of a tug between the psychological part of you and then the physical part of you. Yeah, I guess we're both of those things, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just interesting when it did, when that physical side that I'm probably like, that's the side that keeps me going and keeps me fighting to like push for things and work hard for things. Like that was what I needed to get through at that time. It was just a really interesting observation to hear that come in, those thoughts come in at about like 9 or 10 hours when it hadn't at all previously.
My thought process around that was, how do people run 100 kilometers or 100, like 100 miles? I was like destroyed after 50. I think at like 54, when I went out for my last walk, I was broken. Like couldn't put shoes on, limping, weird gait, walking like I should have been in a wheelchair. And I'm like, how do people run 100K? Stefan Mueller's doing that in February.
Hmm.
I think, I don't know how people do that. It's mad.
Yes, you do. They train for it.
It's crazy though.
It is crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. How the body's
like,
pretty
people
pretty
run like 100, people run 100 mile races in 24 hours. That's messed up. That was my thoughts on the physicality of it.
So was there anything you realized about yourself? Like, was there anything profound that you realized? Obviously, you've said like the general overview of your vision.
Clarity, vision, belief.
Clarity, so, vision, belief. But are there any like specific details that you were like, oh, I noticed that I do this or that I take too many clothes away when I go on a holiday?
No, but I think if you ask normal people, that would be normal. Because what if you go away and your washing machine breaks? You can't wash your 7 pairs of socks.
You're going to my family home.
Yeah, but what if their washing machine breaks and you can't do any washing?
Anyway. So is there anything...
Then I have to buy more socks and you tell me for spending money. So it's better that I just take the socks.
I love the picture that I'm being painted under for this, by the way. I tried to do a chapter on my wife, but I couldn't think of anything.
That's what my note says. No, not really, like nothing specific like that, but the belief thing was like a huge thing. Like I realized that I've never believed in myself and that the motivations that I have to do things are very much driven for you, for Freddie, and then for people that have believed in me.
Hmm.
And that's like a big group of people. And that's like I realized that's why I'm doing what I do. But a lot of the things that I've wanted to do, I've said I wanted to do, but I think there's a difference between telling yourself you can do this and actually believing that voice.
Mm.
Whereas now I believe that voice and I never have before. So I think that was the most profound thing that I came to.
I wrote out a list of 10 personal values, which is actually a really big deal because I did the values exercise like years ago when we were in Sri Lanka. I can't even remember how long it was. And I've really wanted to be able to nail my own personal values for so long.
Man, you got loads out of this.
And I wrote all of them down. And they're all ones, the funny thing is, they're all ones that I have been like thinking for ages. Like I've probably had my list written down somewhere, but I just didn't believe all of them or like hadn't, you know, like you can have 20 things that you think are really important, but like really nailing the 10 that are most important to you, it takes a lot of time to get to know and like to filter through everything.
Because doesn't that list start with like 600 that you got narrowed down from?
Yeah, that one was. But anyway, so I got that, which was really cool. And I mean, I'm looking at my notes now. Nothing else that was really crazy, but what I thought was really interesting was how you said that you had listened to a lot of stuff during the week or like over in the previous weeks that gave you like tools or thinking points or perspectives to think about in your walk.
Yeah, I don't think people will realize if they could see, if you could see what I looked like during that walk, it was... Like people, if anyone saw me at the winners, probably thought I was a fucking like man possessed.
Mm.
I was like, at one point I was just, I'm going to say chanting. I don't think I was chanting, but I was saying it out loud.
You're definitely chanting. I bet you were chanting.
It was, can't hurt us, never finished, relentless, endure, extreme ownership, just like over and over.
Are those the book names?
Yeah. So those
Mum Spaghetti?
What?
Eminem.
No. So those five books are the five books that I've listened to in the last like 2 months, and like they're all very similar genre, and all have like crossover in the messages that they're top banging on about. And but when each of their titles is very, to me, very powerful. Like Can't Hurt Us is like they're very self-explanatory. Never Finished, Endure, Relentless, and Extreme Ownership are all kind of like values that I would not say are my values, but things that I would believe in. And I feel like when this rain was like its hardest, I was just saying that those five book titles over and over again, probably for like 5 minutes, just saying those things, because not be, like I like all those books, but I think the messages in those books that I've taken lessons from each of them that I have started to implement into my life like mean a lot to me, and that's what got me through. Because at one point, I shit you not, I felt there was someone throwing buckets of water at me. It literally was like splashing off of me. It was crazy how hard the rain was. I was like, no one's gonna believe how heavy the rain was at that point, or would ever like would expect you to quit. Like Rome was like, oh, did you do the walk or did it get rained off? Like people were expecting you to not walk through that, and I was like, no other fuckers out here walking through the rain. Which doesn't mean you're smart or you're harder working than anyone else, but no one else is doing that. I'm like, no one else is gonna do what I'm gonna do to get my business where I want it to be. And that was like the main thing that I took from it, is like, if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do anything. That was the main thing for me.
So I was
thinking
that it just reinforced why it is so important to get out of your own head or get out of your own space and get input from other people, whether it is hanging out with other great people who are doing great things that you look up to, who are successful in their own right, whatever it might be. And I'm not talking about monetary. I mean, it could be, but in any other way. Listening to podcasts, reading other books, but you wouldn't have had that if you hadn't have gone out of your way and chosen to listen to these books. So
yeah, for sure.
It just kind of reinforced to me that if you kind of stay in your own lane, you only ever have your own perspective, and it's just so important to have, you know, infiltration to other people's stuff. And you might not use their stuff,
yeah,
but it's great to have other things to contemplate, not just your own,
yeah,
because you can take and leave whatever you want, really. The other thing was, I had it down. So you took 6 hours to get to this point. That's not reasonable for people to do often.
No.
So how do people do this in a more frequent, consistent way? Because the reason why I wanted to do this was because it has been so long since I have felt like I could hear myself. And I'm talking about times that Craig and I have been in Sri Lanka, for example, which was before COVID, so 3 years ago, and then the previous times before, we've been sitting on the beach and it's been quiet. You can hear the waves, the sunset, the setting is beautiful. Like, you are in nature. And I just remember distinctly, and I don't have a great memory, but when memories stand out for me, like, they're very, very precious and powerful. And I just remember sitting there and being like, there you are, Emily. Like, I can hear you again. And I haven't had that since. And so I was hoping that I would get that out of this walk.
So when you said that to me when we were talking about doing it, that's why I wanted to do it.
Oh, did you get that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, I did not.
I don't think I'd ever be able to experience what I did yesterday or again if I hadn't done that yesterday. So like, how can people go and experience that? I didn't know what I was going to experience. And this is why I didn't want to talk about this before people do it, but you will get what you want. It will come when it comes, and you don't have to go looking for it. I think what you want to get out of it, you'll get out of it when it happens. And which is, I didn't know what I was going to get. So for you, like, it being quiet enough in your mind that you can find yourself, I didn't know what that meant to me. I wanted it, but I didn't know what that was going to come. I didn't know how that was going to arrive or what form that would take. And it wasn't, and I said it took 8 hours. But then I think, like you said, you realized you are good at listening to yourself and having time with your own thoughts and creating that. I think now I can. I think going through this experience, it'd be easier for me to understand what being present or what being present is supposed to be and the value in taking time for yourself. And now I don't feel like I need to go and walk for 8 hours to get to that point. Now I could probably, I did it twice today. I went for 2 walks with Freddie today. And I was at Freddie and I was speaking to him. He wasn't speaking back much, but I didn't put headphones in. Usually I put like one headphones in when I'm walking and just have something like stupid on the background. I didn't do that today. And even today I was walking, I had more thoughts today. And that was just like a half an hour walk. So I feel like I had to experience it to now know what I'm looking for when I'm trying to be more present. And just when everyone talks about like being on your phone too much or watching TV too much or getting like stressed out about traffic and all these things, I think they clog up your brain. And I think you are less able to be more present when you're stressed and anxious and all these other things. And all these other things and these day-to-day stresses, they prevent you from being able to be more present. And trying to deliberately be present and take time to be present doesn't necessarily mean that you have achieved what I achieved yesterday, and that would be different for everybody. But it's like when people talk about meditating and stuff, is the point is to be present. I now know what they're trying to talk about. And I experienced that for the very first time yesterday.
I think in saying that, one of the things I realized, or the thought that I was playing around with, was like your life, or I mean, I guess I would say my life. I can't speak about other people's. But my life is about what I choose to concern myself with.
Yeah.
Like, what do I choose to stress myself over? What do I choose to overthink and overcomplicate about? Because, yeah, it's kind of like, what game are you playing? And that kind of, also then the thought around that was, I really don't want to waste my resources on things that don't matter to me, that don't, for example, like, let's say shopping. Like, I don't mind spending money on things that I'm like, oh, I really love these this pair of shoes. Like, if it makes me feel good, I'm happy to spend that money. But you know, there's some purchases that you make that are like, like, I'll just get that because like, I don't want to do that anymore. And it's, it kind of is going back to the topic of, what do you spend your worry on? What do you spend your attention on? What do you, spend your stress and things on? That was a good thing that came out of one of my laps as well. So I think that was something that I, from all of this, from the walk, I think it was that, like, what, being a bit more present as I go on through the month, the year, is just being a little bit more aware of where I spend my time, where I spend my stress, and where I spend my money, because money is my time. Like, I spend a lot of time away from you guys, you know, I spend a lot of time not being your wife. You know, like, we don't get a lot of time together as husband and wife. We're colleagues for a lot of the time. I don't spend any of my day with my son, and that's because I'm out working, and so that equates to obviously getting money for that work. So then when I go and spend that money on shit that doesn't matter, it's like, what's the swap there? I've just spent all this time away from my family. I'm here away from my Estill family to work here, and I've just wasted that on this really shitty thing, you know, this materialistic thing that I actually don't like that much. So that was one thing that I realized also.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We should wrap this up pretty soon. Have you got any tips? I know there was a lot of tips through that one, but if we were to kind of like higher level summarize what...
So I would say definitely to...
Hold on, let's do this.
Okay.
I don't know if you have three words, three favorite moments, and then three tips.
I don't.
I can. Okay. So my three, I set that up. I've set her up there. I was prepared with this. Clarity, vision, belief were three things that summarized that work for me perfectly. I think in the order, like, it came like the first couple hours for clarity, next couple hours for the vision, and the rest were for the belief. So that was my three things. My three favorite moments were the epiphany in the storm, the seeing M for the first time at the time that I saw M, and not being on my phone for the whole experience were my three things. And then three tips would be walk familiar routes so you don't have to think.
Mm-hmm.
Make your base really easy. So we set everything up outside in the cool box, had a chair, walk back, sit down, have something to eat, make a note, bang, get back out there. And then don't overthink the what you want to get out of it and the what you want to think about beforehand, because it will come. Like everything we've spoke about, well, everything I spoke about on for the last hour has been stuff that just happened. I didn't plan on thinking about it and this stuff. So whatever you want to get out of it, you will get out of it. It will come. Just let it come. Those are my three tips.
So mine would be, if you're an overthinker like me, I would say do like a brain dump beforehand, okay. Like maybe the night before, maybe even during the week, just like getting out everything that's in your head in the evening. And especially I think the night before, because I found it really hard to go to sleep because I was like, oh, I've got to wake up in the morning to do this thing. And it was an event. So my mind was racing and I was like, oh, I've got to remember to do this and I've got to remember to do that. Practice. So I feel like, yeah, that was really helpful. I think the shoes, as you said, just wear really comfortable stuff. I had like bike shorts on, which I think.
I didn't.
You didn't.
I have bike shorts.
I was just thinking about, just think repetitive movements. So I had a change of clothes that were all different. So I didn't have like the same type of shorts. So if anything was rubbing, it wouldn't be the same, you know, like area. So basically you just have chafing all up and down your legs, if that was the point. But just have different types of clothes, I thought was good, even though I didn't change. I changed my shoes three times, but it was the same two shoes that I cycled through, which I know are super comfortable. And the other thing was I would write important things down beforehand. Beforehand as well.
Okay.
Like go in with a plan.
Right.
Even if you don't end up being the person that needs to have the plan, I don't think it can't hurt to just have some things that you'd like to contemplate. If it doesn't happen, then fine.
So one thing I forgot about was, don't drink a cup of bone broth.
Oh, yeah.
As the only thing you eat for the day, unless you're used to drinking bone broth, because bone broth is really high fat content.
I don't know.
Is it? I don't know, but it makes stuff happen.
I mean, you've got to think about your digestive routine.
Yeah, so
your poops.
I know, because we were walking on Springs and Emirates, Hills and Meadows, that there's pools with community bathrooms that were on the route. So
yeah,
for
not
me,
just pools.
don't just do it in the pool. But yeah, I was planning on doing a big walk first, and that's supposed to be a 12K loop, and I had to cut that short because I was just like, oh my God, this is happening right now, and it's like 5K in. And I went to one of the community pools, and it was locked. I was like, fuck, walk. Had another 4K to get home. So that was like the first loop, so that was pretty stressful for the first loop. I had to like shuffle. So I didn't completely walk the rest of that run. And I had to go to the bathroom four times, and that was on the first four laps. So don't drink bone broth beforehand.
Just keep your food the same. It's not a crazy event. Like you can eat as often as you want. You can come back home, refuel, go to the bathroom, change your clothes as often as you want. So it's not like, don't stress about all that stuff.
Yeah. Don't just drink.
Do everything the same as normal.
Yeah.
Eat the same food.
Yeah. Although I did burn 4,000 calories.
Oh, I don't know how many I burnt.
You watch it, buddy.
Anyways, don't both of you do it if you have to come home and parent a 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
14-year-old, 14-month-old child, my God.
Yeah.
Poor Freddie last night got the absolute lowest level of parenting ever.
Worst dinner of his life. All right, any closing statements?
I think I've said enough.
I think it's closed.
thank you, Beef, for our rosé drinking. It was fueled by
not the
Beef's
walk.
Rosé. No, not the
we
walk.
We were sober for the week before. Yeah. But thank you, Em, for that experience. Like, that was something I never would have ever done or wouldn't even thought of.
I'm glad you did it. My favorite thing was coming around the corner back to the villa, and you and Freddie and Lisa were standing there waiting for me to finish.
Yeah, I had the same. Walk. I got back and they were outside waiting for me.
That's perfect. So sweet.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just love the fact that you were walking along like, fuck yeah. Like, what is it? Come at me, rain.
Yeah.
Get what you want out of me. And yeah. I was like, hello, Mr. Moon. When I went out in the morning, it was pitch black and the moon was out. It was like a full moon, which is maybe why I wasn't sleeping. But I'm so used to talking like that with Freddie, like, hi, Mr. Snail and Mrs. Owl. You know, you've got to do the evens, Mr. and Mrs. It can't all be Mr. And I was just like, hello, Mr. Moon. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to speak. I was stressing out. I probably said like 20 words max. And it was only because I accidentally said hi to Mr. Moon. And then I sang a song out loud. And I was like, oh, I wasn't sure I was supposed to speak.
Okay.
Anyways, 20 words max in 12 hours. I think it's pretty good.
But were you not supposed to speak out loud?
I should probably look at the rules.
Look at the rules, because I broke that rule for sure. I spoke a lot.
Yeah, you were screaming it.
I cussed at myself a lot.
And screaming at the rain.
Yeah.
Nature.
And the old lady that was watching out the window. Fuck you looking at.